Hey everyone, I'm Thanos Davelis, and welcome back to The Greek Current, a podcast by the Hellenic American Leadership Council and Kathy Merini, where we highlight the top stories of the day every afternoon with analysis from guest experts, policymakers, journalists, and HELC staff. Germany and the United Nations are hosting an international conference on Libya in Berlin this week, and diplomats are aiming to take stock of Libya's political progress, prepare for a national election set for December, and discuss the withdrawal of foreign troops and mercenaries. The majority of the attendees already met at the first international conference on Libya, which was also hosted by Germany, in January 2020. This time around, members of the newly formed Libyan Transitional Government of National Unity will also attend. Libya analyst Aya Berwela joins The Greek Current to discuss the upcoming Berlin conference and the latest developments in Libya. Aya Berwela is a Libyan expert from Benghazi and visiting lecturer at the Hellenic National Defense Academy. She is also publishing an upcoming volume on Libya titled Libya in 2021, What Went Wrong? What Comes Next? Aya, welcome back on The Greek Current.
Thank you for having me, Thanos. It's good to be here.
Aya, tomorrow in Berlin, diplomats will be taking part in an international conference on Libya. What are the expectations going into this conference?
That's a question, Thanos, that's on everybody's mind. At this stage, people are more interested, at least in Libya, to see implementation rather than more conferences. It seems Libya has been the subject of one conference after another, and even the basic measures that have been agreed upon by everyone has not been implemented yet. So there's a sense that this is going to be another conference where platitudes will be repeated. But what people would like to see for a change is measures and an actual plan to implement the agreements that have already passed by in the UN Security Council, with the LPDF as well. And these main points of contention are the withdrawal of foreign forces, the unification of government institutions between the East and West, and of course, most importantly, for direct presidential and parliamentary elections to be held at the end of the year in December.
Aya, how significant is it that members of the GNU will also be present this time around?
I'm not sure for whom it is significant. There's always been an impression that Libya is a country that has been talked about, but Libyans themselves are not participants in the processes and conferences that determine its future. The prime minister of GNU is going to be there. But I think what would have been more important is that for Libyan political parties to be present, civil society movements, basically Libyans speaking on their own behalf. Because at the end of the day, even the GNU was not elected or selected by the Libyan public. So it would have been more appropriate to pay more attention on what Libyans want and to hear Libyan voices, not Libyan voices that have been curated according to how well they echo the talking points or the agenda of foreign countries, but Libyans speaking on their own behalf. So I think it's not so significant that the prime minister of the GNU is present. It is significant on drawing attention on who is absent rather than who is present.
Last week, there was an article in Politico Europe that detailed a plan put forth by French President Emmanuel Macron to remove foreign fighters from Libya within a six-month timeline. Macron has presented this idea to both President Biden and Turkish President Erdogan. Has this proposal gotten any traction among the key players involved?
I think the Americans are seriously considering this. The removal of all foreign forces has already been agreed upon already last year on the Geneva 5+5. It is a basic measure. It is a basic demand to restore Libyan sovereignty. And the Americans are definitely taking it seriously. As the majority of Libyan people, as France is, as the majority of the EU, I cannot say all the countries in the EU, I can certainly say that they are for the removal of foreign forces. But the Americans are, the Turks definitely are not. I do suspect that if foreign mercenaries do leave, their foreign mercenaries leave Libya, they will be sending them to another front where they're fighting, creating a problem somewhere else. So there is, though, increasing pressure by the international community for Turkey to remove its Syrian forces, of course, to be followed by the Russians removing their mercenaries as well. I think President Macron's plan is very logical. It should be implemented immediately. And there's no way a country can have free and fair elections in the presence of foreign mercenaries. So definitely Macron's plan is being considered by people who are truly invested in seeing peace and stability in Libya.
The United States Special Envoy for Libya, Richard Norland, he told reporters that the United States is in talks with key actors in Libya over the withdrawal of foreign forces ahead of elections, adding that part of the importance of Libya's elections was so a fully empowered, credible, and legitimate government could push foreign actors to pull out their troops. What's your take on the U.S. involvement in this process thus far, which actually has been scaled up since the appointment of Norland as Special Envoy, and on Norland's latest comments?
I think Norland's latest comments are very important, and he addresses the crux of the matter. You need a legitimate and accountable government in Libya that has the consent of the governed. For the past 6 years, Libya has been governed. But when I use the word governed, I use it in the loosest sense of that word, because Tripoli has been a gangster's paradise run by militias and organized crime. But for the past 6 years, Libyans did not have a government that was actually elected by the people. The GNA, for example, was brokered by the UN. So it's foreign appointed. And even when it was brokered by the UN, it was never ratified by the elected Libyan parliament. And the elected Libyan parliament is the only internationally recognized and democratically elected parliament of Libya. So to think that for all these years, the Libyans were governed by a GNA that was not ratified by Libyans themselves and was not considered legitimate by Libyans themselves. And this has proved very destructive to the country. The GNA has been riddled with corruption. It is a nexus of organized crime, militias, and politicians that are not accountable to Libyans themselves. So when you have a government that is not legitimate, is not democratic, is not elected, that does not answer to Libyan people, it obviously answers to whoever it is that appointed them. In this case, it was foreigners. And we saw with horror how the GNA quickly transformed into a puppet government, notably of the Turkish regime. In fact, it took a foreign-appointed government to bring in foreign occupation in Libya, which is something that Libyans haven't seen since the Italians were removed. So Norland understands the importance of having legitimate, accountable government in Libya, and that is why he too, like the majority of Libyans, are pushing for elections.
Yeah, there's been a lot of commentary in Greece about the fact that Athens was not invited to participate in the Berlin Conference. During a visit to Cairo this week, Prime Minister Mitsotakis once again reiterated his deep displeasure at Greece's non-participation in this process. What are the main concerns in Athens? And do you think that these concerns are taken into account by Greece's EU partners who are participating in the conference?
Athens' main concerns is that the clauses in the last two UN Security Council resolutions are not going to be implemented. And these clauses and these mandates are the withdrawal of foreign forces, the unification of Libya, and most importantly, democratic, free, and fair, and direct presidential and parliamentary elections in Libya. And the reason why Greece, not only because, of course, it is the ethical thing to do to promote democracy and self-determination in Libya, but the reason it wants a legitimate government in Libya is because Greece has been one of the victims, alongside Libyans, of having an illegitimate, unaccountable government in Libya in the form of the former GNA, which was making agreements with countries like Turkey that had no right to make, specifically the illegal maritime agreement that violates Greek sovereignty, Libyan sovereignty, Egyptian sovereignty, and Cypriot sovereignty. So these are the main concerns of the Greeks, and they wish to see these concerns being articulated in Berlin. I am sure EU countries such as France will raise this issue, but it is clear that Germany does not share Greece's concerns because it is Germany that is organizing this conference. And it's Germany that chose not to invite Greece. And we know that the other country that does not want Greece there is Turkey. So even just from the very act of not inviting Greece, that is a neighbor of Libya, that has such a historical relationship with Libya and friendly relations with Libya and Libyans, the fact that they were not invited casts a cloud on the intentions and effectiveness of Berlin. Another thing that Greece would like to see is what Libyans would like to see, and that's elections. And the reason why they want elections is not because it is only the ethical thing to desire, but Greece has also been a victim, like Libyans, of having an illegitimate government in Libya. For example, the GNA was never elected or ratified by the Libyan parliament. The GNA had expired in 2017. And what we saw the GNA become was a nexus of crime, government, terrorism, and human trafficking. And it began, especially in the past couple of years, signing agreements with foreign countries, military agreements and maritime agreements that were predatory and that were illegal. So Greece understands that you need a legitimate and accountable government in Libya. And in fact, this is something that most Libyans want. The USAID just released a huge survey on national perception of Libya. USAID surveyed almost 16,000 Libyans from all three regions. And 71% say that elections will succeed in December, 58% say they are likely to vote, and 64% oppose a delay in elections. And most Libyans say that the GNU's top three priorities should be withdrawal of foreign forces, national reconciliation, and government unification. And when they were asked, what are you most worried about right now? They responded, government corruption, COVID-19, and of course, foreign interference. So Greece shares the same concerns Libyans have. They share their same desires. And I think it's high time that Libya has a legitimate government that responds to Libyans.
I want to wrap up with the last question. Over the last few days, we've seen reports about Libya's coastal highway, which has been closed. The prime minister of the GNU has been pushing hard to reopen this road, arguing that it's a sign of the country's reunification. You've commented on this story in, you know, Voice of America today. What's going on here?
So the prime minister of the GNU announced recently that the coastal road between Sirte and Misrata is going to open. And of course, it was immediately closed again. And people believe that this was a political stunt, political theater, for Dbeibah to show before the Berlin conference that he is doing something. And the reason why he wants to do that a few days before the Berlin conference is because, sadly, in the 3 months that he has been in office, he hasn't made any real effort towards fulfilling his mandate. He has not mentioned anything serious about the withdrawal of foreign forces. When Libya's foreign minister mentioned it and she came under attack, the prime minister did not come to her defense. In the meantime, the prime minister has been seen taking an international tour, and he hasn't even visited the east of Libya yet. And the east of Libya is the backbone of the country. So we're seeing a prime minister in the past few months, and I hope he changes tack very, very fast. He's not fulfilling his duties as outlined by the Libyan political dialogue forum. So the perception is that this was a stunt to show that, hey, I'm doing something right before I arrive in Berlin. And of course, it was immediately closed down because it is the Geneva 5+5 Joint Military Committee that's responsible for opening up the coastal road. This coastal road between Sirte and Misrata was closed when the April 2019 offensive by the National Army began. And it was closed for security reasons to make sure, you know, fighters from the West cannot reach the East. And there are also other technical difficulties that need to be dealt with, for example, landmines and the presence of foreign forces and mercenaries. So all of this is under the responsibility of the 5+5. And they're doing a good job discussing and negotiating how they can open up the coastal road again safely and securely. So they were disappointed and they were very, very angry when the PM unilaterally announced that he was going to open. It's dangerous, it is irresponsible, and no one wants to sacrifice the progress that they've made so far because a politician wants to, you know, score political points. So it was closed eventually. I want to clarify that Sirte Misrata coastal road wasn't entirely open. They opened between Misrata and Abu Ghraib, another coastal town. So that's what happened. And, you know, Libya can't afford any more politicians sacrificing its security and the rule of law for political stunts.
Aya, thanks for joining us again on The Greek Current. It's great having you back on.
It's my pleasure.
In other news, the U.S.-Greece Defense and Interparliamentary Partnership Act passed through the Senate Foreign Relations Committee on Tuesday. Senator Bob Menendez, chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, and Senator Marco Rubio applauded the passage of their new legislation, which boosts support for Greek military modernization and increases multilateral engagement among Cyprus, Greece, Israel, and the United States. I'm very proud to see the Senate Foreign Relations Committee come together in support of this common sense legislation, Senator Menendez said. Senator Rubio added that we must remain committed to ensuring our nation enhances its defense cooperation with Greece. Finally, Kathimerini reports that this summer will not bring a pause in Prime Minister Mitsotakis' efforts to implement promised reforms. In fact, the government is preparing to table two bills in parliament that are expected to bring further heat from the opposition. The cabinet is set to approve draft legislation this week on supplementary pensions and the assessment of teachers and schools. Mitsotakis wants to pass major reform legislation, which also includes the labor bill voted last week ahead of autumn. Last week, we discussed both this labor reform and the upcoming reforms on supplementary pensions on the Greek Current podcast with Panos Sakloglu, Greece's Deputy Minister of Labor and Social Affairs. That wraps up today's episode of the Greek Current. Thanks for tuning in.